The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin. Kelly Bidlin on Twitter.
That's right.
Phonetically. Still to come this hour, Adam Burke will join us in his regular Monday spot. I don't know, maybe he has a play on the FCS championship tonight.
The Berkster.
Remember Randy
McKay? The Berkerino.
When Crackman was in last week, he gave out Randy McKay's pick on the FCS championship tonight. Illinois State plus 10.5.
I'm in on it.
And it's still there. Still at that number.
Yeah, that barely moved, right? Yeah, 10.5, still
yeah,
there.
Yeah, still there. We'll see if Adam has a thought on that. He's got college basketball. We'll get his thoughts on wildcard week. And we have another NFL coach firing. This is the fourth.
Wow.
This is the fourth now. The Arizona Cardinals are firing coach Jonathan Gannon, sources say. That's according to Ian Rappaport at Rap Sheet. Endless losses to finish an injury-riddled season spelled the end of Gannon, who should be a top-tier defensive coordinator candidate now. So let us review. Started with Raheem Morris yesterday being fired by the Atlanta Falcons. Then this morning, Kevin Stefanski of the Cleveland Browns, Pete Carroll of the Las Vegas Raiders, and now Jonathan Gannon of the Arizona Cardinals. Did I miss anybody? Those four. We know that Zach Taylor is staying with the Cincinnati Bengals, but four coaches have already been fired. Our buddy Dave Ross, the co-host of Buy the Books, which precedes us. We love Dave. I love Dave. He's one of my favorite people ever.
Yeah, Dave, keep us updated.
He loves this kind of thing. Now, he always prefaces by saying, let's keep in mind, no one likes to lose their job. He always does that. But then he enjoys this kind of thing so much. We love that about Dave. But that's four NFL coaches. Four ousted. And the Jonathan Gannon one, to me, is the most noteworthy because weren't there some folks thinking he could be coach of the year this year?
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, he was on my short list beginning of the season.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
But understandable, right?
I'm a little surprised by this. A little.
Well, I mean,
not shocked.
Let's just review them real quick. Raheem Morris, yeah, you got way too much talent to not win that division. Mm-hmm. Okay, yep. That's the first thing. Stefanski, yeah, I mean, how many years can you suck? Sorry. The Deshaun Watson thing is now in the rear view. You can't keep going with that excuse. And I know you didn't get any favors when it came to quarterback throughout, but okay.
I still think he's good, Gil.
The thing is, his defense was great, you know.
I think everybody there, it's just time for a fresh start.
Pete Carroll, look, I mean, you couldn't have been worse. This team couldn't have been worse.
That was the easiest.
And then
one.
Jonathan Gannon, I mean, look, that between Kyler Murray and, I say it every week, Mike, their box scores, the Cardinals' box scores are the weekly, the best players nobody knows about nationally. Like Michael Wilson and Trey McBride, like guys that just produce every week. They can't win a game to save their lives.
They were so injured down the stretch, though. And then Kyler, like the whole season. I don't know. It just feels like
they were, but like Washington managed to win five. They lost the most games to starter injuries, right? I don't know. Arizona, by the way, 15-36 under Jonathan Gannon, including losing 14 of its final 15 this season.
It's not ideal.
It's
not the way you want to play.
I would refer to it as suboptimal. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Paul Stanley, as a Chiefs fan, I knew how far we had fallen when I had no idea who the announcers calling the game were. On the good side, at least it wasn't Romo. Hey, Paul. Hey, man. Now you get to feel just for 1 week what it feels like for so many fans, so many other franchises. Uncle Bush, keep preaching, Kelly. He's got James Pierce at 20-1.
Good on you.
For defensive rookie of the year.
I'm betting it today. I cannot believe I'm making another awards bet, but I am.
NCI-95 gambler, I-95 stretching down the eastern seaboard. He's in Carolina. Said, hey, Gil, I don't know if people remember, but that future on Chechia is live today on whatever is that tournament is called in the hockey juniors. They're in the final this afternoon. LFG, yeah, our buddy Jake Hahn gave that out last week, and of course, I was too stupid to remember to play it.
The World Junior Championship.
Chechia, right?
Czech Republic?
Chechia.
Also known as Chechia, that we got confused about last week. I had to look it up. Apparently, you can call them both. Plus 105 against Sweden, minus 130.
Brian Morianen, if Kelly wants more fan betting action on his bets, he needs to up his ante. All the money in his pocket and a lightly used spyglass should have been offered as well.
Probably been used more often than you would think.
He's right. He should have offered that. And Three Jack adds that Cam Little field goal kicker, as he said, that little field goal kicker is going to be the deciding factor in the AFC. My prediction, he says, took the Rams over the Jags in Super Bowl exacta 30-1.
I like it.
Let's book that. And O'Dall says, thank you. So awesome. Thank you, Gil, for the call from Atlanta talking about Darnus Johnson. He says, my wife yelled down and asked if I was okay. Thanks for getting me through the hip replacement recovery. You two are the best.
Oh man.
Hope that goes quick. I'm told, though, that they you feel like brand new afterwards. So just get through the tough part, O'Dell. D-Mark B. Offensive rookie year by the numbers, admittedly with a Henderson dog in the fight. He says, Travion, 1,132 yards, 10 touchdowns. McMillan, 1,014 yards, receiving 7 touchdowns. And Jeff Levine, Gil, you just haven't been paying attention. There has already been history made on the interception record. The Jets have stopped playing infinitely for a record that can never be beaten. Unreal. Jeff, Delaware Shore. Jeff, hope you're enjoying the Delaware Shore at this time of year. I know it's not the prettiest in January, but we mentioned that Jets record. It's incredible. It really is incredible. Like, of all the amazing things, of all the amazing stats we've ever given out, to go an entire football season, an entire professional football team, never got a bounce.
I know.
Never got a deflection that they went right to somebody. Nothing. It's incredible.
I heard all year. I heard Patrick Maher bring this up on the Sharp Money podcast. Check it out. Get it wherever you get your podcast. Samich and Maher doing a great job getting set for Wild Card Weekend. He also brought up, you know, important to note, right? Head coach Aaron Glenn, like all-time great defensive back. Like, but your D-backs can't pick off one ball.
Let's do the last one. It's a great point.
Monday Night Football, Texans at the Steelers.
Number 5 seeded Texans at the number 4 seeded Steelers. No need to go through the Texans game. They had a little touch and go with Indianapolis for much of that game. Stroud was taken out early in the third quarter for Davis Mills. Texans still pull it out 38-30. I should mention, though, that it was 32-30, and a lot of people had in-game bets. And then a pitchy woo-woo gone bad,
yep,
where Tommy Togiai scores for Houston 38-30.
Big they man touchdown. Always fun.
Oh, a lot of people got screwed on that.
I had Texans in a 10-point teaser, so that was a little sweatier for me. Especially when you're like, Davis Mills comes in, right? Doesn't complete a pass in the third quarter. You're like, yeah, were you the only one that was surprised that you're playing today? Like, were you not ready for this?
All right, and then last night's game. The game for the AFC North. Steelers and Ravens. Baltimore. 8 plays, 86 yards to start. Net 26-yard run after a bogus, by the way, net 26-yard run to start after a bogus illegal block call on Zay on the first play from scrimmage. 7 plays later, 4th-and-3 at the Pittsburgh 38. Lamar to Devontae Walker behind the defense. 7-0 Ravens, 10:54 left in the first quarter. Couple drives later for Pittsburgh, 4th-and-1 at their own 45. They decide to go for it. Connor Haywood stopped for no gain. That led to a Baltimore field goal. Tyler Loop from 40, 10-0 Ravens early second quarter. Then Boswell, 57-yard field goal, pardon me, after a sequence in which Rodgers' footwork made him miss a wide-open MVS for a big gainer and then couldn't out-sprint Tavius Robinson to the corner. 10-3 Ravens. And then Pittsburgh, late first half, they have a double-dip chance, down 7. From their own 9, they matriculate the ball down the field. 3rd-and-9 at their own 25, Rodgers for 20. Then they get it to 4th-and-goal at the 1 after a PI in the end zone. Seconds left. Do you go for it? Do you kick the field goal? That's the choice. They decide to go for it. Gainwell hit for a 1-yard loss by Gilman. Alohi Gilman. You have any problem with them going for it?
No.
I would have kicked the field goal knowing the double dip, but I have no problem with them going for it.
Yeah, I felt the same way.
I didn't think it was like a big federal offense. Third quarter, Pittsburgh. From the start, 12 plays, 67 yards on a drive where Baltimore lost Kyle Hamilton to a concussion. Rodgers to Freiermuth for 14 on 3rd-and-10 at their own 45. 2 plays later to Thielen for 28. 4 plays later, 4th-and-1 at the Baltimore 2. This time Hayward gets the 1 yard, then another one into the end zone on 1st-and-goal. 10-10 with 8:23 left in the third quarter. Baltimore, nearly 10 minutes of game time without the ball now. 3rd play, 3rd-and-10 at their own 34. Lamar pass batted down by Hayward, ricochets right into the hands of TJ Watt. See, that's what I'm talking about with the Jets. You don't get a ricochet or anything. Pittsburgh set up at the Baltimore 26, 4th-and-2 at the Baltimore 7. They decide we'll kick a field goal. Boswell, 25-yarder, 13-10 Steelers with 4:28 left in the third quarter. Lamar, two drives later. By the way, at this point, he's 4 of 9 for 29 yards in this game if you took out that one long touchdown pass at the beginning. Lamar to Zay for 15 to start. Three plays later, third and fourth midfield. Lamar splits Alex Highsmith and Keanu Benton, who appear to have him sacked. Unbelievable escape. I've lost my place. Oh, yeah. Direct Zay to go long. Perfect lofted pass for 50, touchdown. 17-13 Ravens, 8:42 left in the fourth quarter. Pittsburgh responds. Eight plays, 60 yards, 4:53 off the clock. From 40, from their own 40 after the ball was kicked out of bounds on the kickoff. Second play, sick 15-yard run by Jalen Warren. Three plays later, Rodgers dimed to Freiermuth for 31 on 3rd and 8 of the Baltimore 36. Three plays later, Gainwell in from 2, but Rodgers has to use their final 2 timeouts along the way. Communication issues. He's pissed. 20-17 Steelers with 3:49 left. Unbelievable. Pittsburgh's going to win it, right? Wrong. Baltimore with 3:43 left. All 3 timeouts from their own 27. Third play after replay assist somehow says Ricard was short on first on the previous down. Or for the first down, short of the first down. I don't know how they reverse that. Lamar to Zay behind the defense again for 64. Touchdown, 24-20 Ravens with 2:20 left. Surely they're going to win.
It's absurd.
But no, Pittsburgh from their own 35, no timeouts, just a 2-minute warning. First play, Rodgers to Austin for 17, to Thielen for 8, to Gainwell, who slips a tackle for 15 to the 26. Incomplete. 3rd and 10 at the 26. Awuzie slips and falls to the wide open Austin, touchdown because he fell. 26-24, Pittsburgh with 55 seconds left. Boswell, extra point, slices right. Like Mike drives in golf. Only a second missed extra point in 4 years. Baltimore still with all 3 timeouts. Need a field goal to win. Keaton Mitchell returns the kickoff 42 yards, set up at their own 47. Lamar to Devontae for 7, 43 seconds left. Illegal formation sets him back. 2nd down. Lamar throws it past a wide open Hopkins on the sideline. 3rd and 7, avoids a sack but throws it away. 4th and 7 at midfield with 21 seconds left. Lamar, high to likely, stretches out as high as he can. What a catch for 26. Timeout. Lamar center. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is a tweet from Bert Wiedemeyer on Twitter. He says, hey, who cut Gilly off? He was on a roll there. I know, right? So rude. And Brian Young, Notorious Gun, says, right on cue. Gil was just talking on a numbers game how Dave Ross loves this Black Monday in the NFL. And here we are. Dave is tweeting all about who's lost jobs and who's not. Dave loves this. Disclaimer, it's never good when someone loses their job. We should point that out. But anyway, the end of the game, by the way, where we got cut off on it, and my apologies again. So it's just back and forth, 26-24, and then Boswell, like the complete slice on the extra point. So all Baltimore needs is a field goal to win the AFC North and get to the playoffs.
And it was so obvious, too, right? How it was going to end after that.
They get the ball, you know, with 3 timeouts. Mitchell returns the kickoff 42 yards. So they're set up at their own 47. I mean, they're easy peasy now, right? But that illegal formation that set them back a little bit was just enough to make it a little harried. But then they get that unbelievable catch from Likely, right? Full stretch on 3rd down, on 4th and 7. Pardon me, 4th and 7 at midfield. Lamar to Likely for 26 yards, the Pittsburgh 24. And so then Lamar centers the ball, right? Let's get it down to 2 seconds for a Tyler Loop 44-yard field goal. Wide right. God, I feel bad for that kid.
Yeah, me too. Especially since, you know what my first thought was when it missed? Hmm. Remember Justin Tucker making so many field goals for this team?
Yeah, well, he had a little issue with the parlors too, I guess.
Yeah.
So there it is. And my guess was Houston -2.5 at Pittsburgh, and it is.
Yeah, it opened 2.5.
Yeah, that's what it
went to
be.
3. I bet it at 3 last night. It is in between 3 and 3.5 right now.
Let's bring in Adam Burke for this. Can we show that one graphic here, Danny, as we segue to Adam Burke, who's kind enough to join us each and every Monday, including today, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Skating Tripods, part of the whole glue that holds his whole operation together. Adam Schefter now just sort of, in one snapshot, giving us the current NFL landscape. There are 6 head coach openings. The top two there, remember, because those were interim coaches, Kafka and McCoy. The bottom four, Falcons, Cardinals, Browns, and Raiders, have all fired their head coach in the last 12 to 15 hours. And then two GM openings. Those were two interim. Now that Terry Fontenot, gone with the Falcons. And remember, we already had an interim GM situation with the Dolphins when Greer got let go in October. We bring in Adam, and Adam, my first question to you, obviously, as a Cleveland guy, how do you feel about Kevin Stefanski being let go? Are you for it? Are you against it? Are you indifferent? How do you feel?
You know what? I'm for it for the sake of Kevin Stefanski for getting away from that organization. So I'm really, really happy for him being able to get away from everything that he's had to put up with, everything that he's had to deal with. Pete Prisco from CBS coming out and saying that, you know, Stefanski was never in favor of the Deshaun Watson trade, but then he had to be the guy out there front facing week after week, day after day, trying to talk about Watson as a player, defending the move, talking about, you know, the glass being half full with Watson and, you know, well, he's just rusty. He'll get it back, stuff like that. Honestly, when they said that Kevin Stefanski was relieved of his duties this morning, I think relieved was the perfect word, because I'm sure that's how he felt based on everything that's gone on with this organization. And for Jimmy Haslam to come out and act like Andrew Berry saved his job because they found Andre Schmidt to be the kicker. Like, what the hell are we doing here? Just an embarrassing morning when there's a lot of embarrassing mornings for this organization. And you know what? I hope Stefanski has a real QB1 wherever he goes, and I hope he wins himself a Super Bowl.
Well, that's what I said about, you know, he was there for, I mean, he was done no favors with the quarterback position throughout his tenure. And that probably kept him there longer because it was kind of a built-in thing. Well, and then still to the end, he never really had the benefit of that position. But at some point, they just decided that was that. And as Adam Schefter says, and to your point, Stefanski ought to be a well-sought-after candidate to other head coach openings. So we'll see, head coaching position openings. Of those six games now for wildcard weekend, we know the spreads, we know the totals. Is there anything that sticks out to you above all?
You know, I mean, obviously all these lines are going to be pretty tight and pretty accurate, right? I mean, at this point in time, we have 17 data points for all these teams. The sports books know everything inside and out about their clientele tendencies and everything like that. I mean, one that stands out to me, I think New England's a little bit cheap at 3.5. I kind of expected 4, maybe 4.5 in this game, where the Chargers are a team that just statistically doesn't impress me. You know, I know that they had a good record, and I know obviously they didn't have Justin Herbert in that last game. They went ahead and sat him, which made a ton of sense. But this is a team that's like plus 0.1 in yards per play differential, whereas New England is plus 0.8 and, you know, averaging over 6 yards per play. Like, they're just a much, much better team to me. The Chargers got very lucky that this is a late game, I think, which, not really a big surprise. The networks want the LA market to be able to have a late game here, you know, since they're not giving the Rams one. But I expected that line to be 4, maybe 4.5. I think it still could get to 4. And I know South Point here in town already has it at 4. So I think that's one that I think is a little bit cheap here at 3.5.
I guessed 4.5, but I'm the other way on that handicap. But I guessed 4.5 as well. Anything, let's go to college sports. Let's go to college hoops. But before we go to college hoops, do you have anything in the FCS championship today in football? Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, so I actually wrote a preview up for this game over at vsin.com, so you can check that out, between Illinois State and Montana State. Illinois State, I mean, you know, we talk about the concept of, you know, really Cinderella teams, you know, in college sports, and we kind of have one here with Illinois State, where this is a team that, I mean, they lost to North Dakota State pretty badly in the regular season and then beat them as a 23.5-point dog, you know, in the second playoff game that they played there, and then beat UC Davis and Villanova to get to this point. But Montana State, I mean, I saw some video from Nashville, and of course, Story Bonantoni is going to be doing that game for ESPN tonight. It looks like the entire city of Bozeman is in Nashville. So Montana State's going to be very well represented here. They are clearly the better team. There's no doubt about that. Offensively, they're much more dynamic. Defensively, they're stronger. I love what Illinois State's done. I think it's a fantastic story, but this line moving out to 10.5 is, I think, a pretty good indicator of how this game plays out. I do like the Montana State Bobcats tonight, laying double digits.
Okay. For those who say, oh, there's no football. No, yes, there is. FCS Championship, 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, with Stormy on the sidelines for that one. College hoops, got anything today?
Yeah, it's a really light card. Only 19 games here tonight. I actually do have a game out of the Big Ten, which is rare for me because usually I'm playing, you know, the deep dark, you know, down in the rabbit hole of college basketball. But I like Oregon laying the 6 here tonight, 5.5 at DraftKings, a little bit of extra juice. I guess Oregon team is going to start to round into form here for Dana Altman. They had a lot of different injuries, guys coming back, guys on minutes restrictions, stuff like that throughout non-conference. But I think now they kind of have everything together. They have a 7-footer and Nate Biddle, who's really good, can stretch the floor. Kwame Evans is a 6'10" guy who's a terrific rebounder. Rutgers is just not good really at anything. I mean, defensively, they've really fallen off. You know, last year, of course, they had the 2 lottery picks, and, you know, Steve Pickiel kind of tried to change up his scheme, change up his philosophy a little bit, and it didn't really work out. And here so far, they're terrible on offense, and they're not back to their usual defensive numbers. So I liked Oregon on Friday night against Maryland, laid the short number there. They won that game by 10. I expect them to win by 10 or so, maybe even more in this game against Rutgers. So I laid it with Oregon, you know, playing their second straight game here on the Atlantic Coast, minus the 6.
Okay. And then remind us, because we won't get a chance to talk to you before Thursday and Friday night. What a great weekend of football. College semis on Thursday and Friday, then 2 NFL games on Saturday, 3 on Sunday, 1 on Monday. It doesn't get any better. What are your takes on the 2 semifinals Thursday and Friday, Miami, Ole Miss, and Oregon, Indiana?
Yeah, great being a relative term because my Ohio State Buckeyes aren't in the Final 4, which is frustrating and disappointing. Sorry. But yeah, I mean, I think that the move on Miami makes some sense. You know, I mean, I think a lot of people are going to look at Ole Miss and say, okay, there's just so much going on with this team. You know, Charlie Weiss Jr. says he's going to stick around, be the OC, and, you know, stay with Ole Miss throughout the playoff. But now that the transfer portal is open, I mean, it's the wild, wild west out there, as we know. So these coaches that are doing double duty between Ole Miss and LSU, really, really tough thing to do here against a Miami team where their coordinators are both focused. And honestly, Miami's offensive numbers haven't been very impressive in the playoff, but there's been these little intricacies that Shannon Dawson, the offensive coordinator, has worked in to give Miami 3rd and 3, 3rd and 2, instead of 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6. They've been able to convert and stay on the field and help that defense out a little bit. Those are things that don't really get seen in the box score because they're not impressive from a yards per play standpoint or anything like that. But Miami's been really good at doing that in their first 2 playoff games. And so I kind of like them laying the 3.5 here. I also like over 51.5, where I think that, you know, Miami now is stepping down in class with the defense that they're facing after Texas A&M and Ohio State. I think they can move the football a little bit more here on Ole Miss, and Trinidad Chambliss has a skill set that Miami really hasn't seen yet. So I kind of like the over 51.5 here. I'm going to wait because the total's coming down. But I also like Miami minus the 3.5 a little bit too.
Staying off Friday's game?
Yeah, I mean, I think Indiana covers the 4. I think Indiana's just really, really good. And of course, they're killing it in the portal now too. So they're just going to keep rolling. Oregon's defense concerns me a lot in this game.
Adam, above all, appreciate that perspective from a Cleveland fan on Stefanski. That was pretty interesting. Great to see you. Happy New Year. It's the last day I'm allowed to say that, according to Kelly. So happy New Year for the last time. Thank you,
Adam.
Have a
good one, guys.
Appreciate it. Adam Burke, everybody. Skating tripods on the old Twitter machine. Coming back, recap all the bets next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Don't wait. Spend $129. Get 2 pounds of wings and save 50% site-wide on steaks and more at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase required. See site for details. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Best listeners in the game. Montreal Max at Stardust Books says, Gil, you got the Gary Danielson treatment on his CBS farewell, where my VSiN feed through YouTube cut you off with 27 seconds left on the Ravens drive for the commercial break, right when you were in frenzy readback mode. I should have warned the affiliates. Poor Gary Danielson, 27 years, or however long he's been on. I'm sorry, that might not be the correct amount of years. But his farewell on CBS, and they cut him off. Oh, ugh. That's messed up. The numbers, guys. Gilly, tennis is back. A special thank you goes out to you and Zach. Mostly Zach, no offense. I'm 8-1 in 20 and 26. Oh, well, Zach's been doing it a few days longer than I have. I got into it this weekend. Yesterday, a 2-1 with two dogs hitting. Wu Yibing as a I'll get the exact numbers for you here, Kelly.
Thank you.
But lost on Valentin Vacherot because we lost a tiebreaker, so I knew that wasn't going to go our way. That's never
fun.
Not
sure how many times I've told you to stop betting her, but, you know.
It's a him, but okay.
Or him. Or him and him.
Lost on Valentin Vacherot as a plus 158 dog to Sebastian Korda, but hit on Wu Yibing, plus 125 versus Fabian Marozan, and then also on Kimberly Burrell at plus 117 versus Rebecca Sramkova. So tennis is back, baby. Let's do it.
What's the...
So pumped.
I walked in and saw them playing, Raducanu playing this morning.
Yes.
How do they dress this tournament up? Like it's like a nation thing?
Well, that's the United Cup. I'm not betting that.
Oh, okay.
Because that's team tennis. I'm not betting that. I'm betting all the other ones in Brisbane, Hong Kong, Auckland.
I love that this time of year, Australia just gets in, like it's just invaded by tennis tournaments.
That's right. Soon we'll be in Adelaide.
What are we, 3 weeks in a row?
And then Melbourne.
Three tournaments in a row?
Melbourne for the Aussie Open.
Melbourne. Adelaide. Adelaide's still the best city in Australia.
Auckland and Brisbane to Adelaide and Melbourne. Scott C. Gil, I love the Monday morning recaps. I hope you're with me saying you did get a... Oh, I hope you're with me saying you did get a little Todd turning blue trying to squeeze in the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game before break. That game was epic. Just epic. Think about that. What was it, like 13-10? And then it ends up...
Probably the craziest quarter of the season. I'm not going to call it the best game of the season.
Lamar stepped it up when he had to.
Well.
He was like, oh, there he is. And Aaron Rodgers, listen, when you don't pressure Aaron Rodgers, he's still Aaron Rodgers. When there's no pressure on him, he can bring it back.
Yeah.
Square Bob 2022. Seahawks won 10 games in 2024. The Bears won 5. You say Ben Johnson doesn't have a chance. Explain how the turnaround from the Bears isn't at the same level as the Seahawks winning 4 more games. Somebody asked how to hedge their Miami Hurricanes ticket circa no minus 380. Square Bob 2022 trying to clean up a few things. Ben Johnson was spectacular this year. Spectacular. And it might have been the greatest coaching job there is. But I was just making the comparison between Vrabel and McDonald. I don't think Ben Johnson ultimately wins it because I think people will look at the fact that their turnover ratio was what, plus 22 in the end. And my hunch is that enough voters will look at that and be like, well, you kind of did get this unsustainable best of that, right? That was really the driver of your season as much, if not more than anything. That's why I feel he has no chance. It's no knock on his coaching job. He did a great job. Dave Ross is hoping that Brian Schottenheimer gets... Are you hoping Brian Schottenheimer gets fired, Dave? Really? Come on. Zach Cohen saying about tennis, almost feel like it never stopped because it kind of didn't. Hey, man, 6 weeks off was great. Jason H11, I wouldn't mind if my Giants hired Stefanski. Numbers guy saying, you haven't been hitting refresh on the VSiN picks page the last 3 months like me. Best of luck down under. Really look forward to your insight. What is he talking about here? Oh, he's talking about...
He's missed your tennis picks.
He's missed the tennis picks, yeah. Oh, hey, no, listen, we're back. And it's in Australia, so I do the handicapping during the day, as I'm sure Zach does as well, so I can't really give out the picks on the show because the way that the time zones work, haven't handicapped for the next night, if you will. Michael Harrison, I want a t-shirt that just says, a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN. What are we doing? Merle Betts, today I extended my running streak to 365 days while watching Gil and Kelly. Couldn't think of a better way to get it done. Channeling Greg Peterson. Thanks, guys. 365 in a row. Good for you, Merle Betts. And James Sott. Adam Burke speaks the truth. Somehow finding a kicker saved the GM's job when he couldn't find a quarterback. I didn't know we picked up former NFL MVP Mark Mosley. Mark Mosley, a former Brown as well. That's where he went to play after he was in Washington. 1982 NFL MVP Mark Mosley, Kelly. Oh, it was a different time. Let's recap the bets. I made a lot. Not on the first game between the Panthers and Rams and none on the last game between the Texans and Steelers, but everything in between. I'm on the Bears. There you go. Guy who was giving me trouble about my take on Ben Johnson. I'm on the Bears. They're not playing the Rams, though, as stated on the screen. They are playing the Packers. I'm on the Bears -1 versus the Packers. I am on the Jags on the money line versus the Bills. I think the wrong team is favored. I took the Niners plus 3.5 at the Eagles. And I got the Chargers, both ATS at the Patriots, plus 3.5. And I sprinkled some on the money line, plus 161. Sprinkle me, sprinkle me, sprinkle me, Ming. The only line, though, that did surprise me, Kelly, though, if you really want to talk about just not bettable, but what was the line that surprised me? The Bills being the favorite at Jacksonville.
Me too.
And I know it's just, you know, 1.5 point here, 1.5 point there, whatever it is, 1 point here, still. And then the awards and the NFL futures and college football futures that remain alive here. Bijan, Offensive Player of the Year, 150-1. Mike McDonald, Coach of the Year, 9-1. And I made the case earlier. How is Mike McDonald not going to be the Coach of the Year? What else could they have done? And then the Super Bowl finalist matchups I have, both involving the Chargers. Chargers Rams, 28-1. Chargers Niners, 66-1. I think I want to add something. I just don't know what yet, though. And then Indiana, the one that's the most live of any of these. Indiana to win the college football championship, 10-1. That could make up for a lot of errors, that one. Kelly Midland, what do you got?
Man, I got a lot, too.
Oh, and I have Illinois State today in the FCS championship, but completely riding Randy McKay.
It's on mine too, but yeah. I wanted to bring it up because yes, Randy, absolutely tailing Randy on this one. I'm just dying laughing because I'm texting a friend, Nate, who I was convinced is an Illinois State guy. He went to Illinois State. I'm like, man, a lot of sharp dudes on your squad today. He goes, yeah, I went to Southern Illinois, but thanks.
It's like when I pop my Achilles and my buddy Juan is like, how's your knee doing? I'm like, my knee is great, Juan. Thanks for asking.
Oh, man. I tried.
My Achilles, on the other hand, trouble.
I was trying to give you some love, Nate. Sorry, man. All right. NBA tonight, 76ers team total over 121.5. You could probably get a little bit better number than that now because that total's come down a little bit with Denver coming into town. Reminder, Nikola Jokic out, but they did get some help back this weekend. Aaron Gordon and Christian Brown both back in the lineup for the Nuggets. So it'll be interesting to see watch them here over their next few games. And then I laid 5.5 with the Blazers tonight. Utah Jazz coming into town. Illinois State, we already talked about, plus 10.5. And Drake May, just wanted to note this, plus 150. I did buy on some of that last night. Just a Stafford hedge there.
Before you get to your NFL, can I just interject this? I have never seen so many great NBA handicappers struggle so violently as I am right
now. Finally had a good weekend.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a 5-2 weekend, I think. I had a lot of bets, actually. Okay. All right.
Kelly Midland accepted.
No, I mean, look, that was my month of December for sure. All right. 6-point teaser. Packers up to 7.5. Jags up to 7.5. Bet the Jags on the money line as well. Even money there. Laid 3 with the Eagles at 115. Laid 3 with the Texans on the road against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
There you go.
You know what? I'm a little surprised by that line too, Gil, that it opened 2.5. Ravens?
I guess
Ravens are a better team than the Texans?
Well, you're already a road favorite. I didn't think you'd get the full 3. I mean, Pittsburgh deserves a little respect for being Pittsburgh and having Aaron Rodgers, I thought, based on that performance yesterday. That's why I didn't give it the 3. Adam Burke, Montana State. He's Oppo Randy McKay and us. He's taking Montana State minus the 10. College football semis. He's got Miami minus 3.5 versus Ole Miss. And he's taking the over in the Miami Ole Miss semi on Thursday. And college hoops today, Oregon minus 6 at Rutgers. Sunj, the State University of New Jersey.
Copyright
Chris Feliga. Real quick before we, because Andy Molitor is on the other side, we want to get his contest situation. Co-host of the Deep Dive with Drew Dinsick. Comeback player of the year in our last 30 seconds.
Oh, yes.
You are not convinced that it's going to Christian McCaffrey?
I'm not.
Who do you think
I think Trevor Lawrence is live.
I think you're right.
I think Trevor Lawrence is live. I think you're right. Dak's out of it. But like I had to type up all these because Gil Alexander, I want to ask you, who is more likely now, who's less likely to win comeback player of the year? Philip Rivers or Stephon Diggs? What voter is writing down Stephon Diggs?
Stephon
right now?
Diggs is absolutely the least likely.
If you're watching at home, these are all the guys that are listed at DraftKings, by the way. And they chose to put Stephon Diggs on there.
Have you seen that video where all the teammates are like, who would you least want to date your girlfriend? They're all like, Diggs! Couldn't even finish the sentence. Andy Molitor next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Head into the new year with a smarter betting strategy powered by VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro, get instant access to everything you need to make informed bets every day. Sign up now. Get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video, full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus expert picks and prop data throughout the NFL and college football playoffs. Get started today, why don't you? For just $9.99, or save 50% with an annual plan. Start betting smarter today at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander from Circa Studios here at lovely Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. Kelly is Moni in the middle here. I've slid over to the right because our next guest, kind enough to join us in studio, we didn't plan this, but we knew that he's leaving town here, so we wanted to get him in. And by the way, let me just say I owe him an apology. He probably doesn't know this, but we always have Drew Dinsick on. Drew Dinsick is his partner for their podcast, The Deep Dive with Drew Dinsick. Drew is always on A Numbers Game weekly. He comes on the Megapod. And because Drew is on, I rarely invite Andy to do stuff, and I feel terrible about this. It's a big oversight. Andy Molitor joins us live in studio right now. You can follow him on Twitter at Andy MSFW. So my apologies to you, sir.
Accepted.
Thank you.
And I'm glad to get the text from you this morning. And I was kind of, waking up here, trying to figure out what time it is on the West Coast.
Yeah, I don't see Drew in town having to cash some, contests and everything.
Forget
right?
that guy.
Yeah, come on, jeez.
We're Team Andy this morning. All right. First, before we get into your story here on Circa Millions, when can people, when do the deep dive episodes come out for people typically weekly to get?
Every day. We do them every single day. Now we're doing morning shows. We're going to adjust a little this week. We usually do our big podcast on Wednesdays in the afternoon, going through all the games, but we're going to push it to Thursday. I want extra injury news. You know, it just doesn't work during the season with TNF, but
yes.
I want all the injury news for this week. Although, man, I got a couple bets. I'm firing already.
Okay.
There's some lines I don't care for right now.
Save that for the end of this because I want to get your opinion on this. So you were all up in this Circa Millions contest. I had no idea. Where did you stand before this weekend?
I didn't really have much of an idea either. I just pass on my picks to Drew. He sends them to the proxy. And it was kind of a middling start to the season. And then after Thanksgiving, we hit this stride, both of us, where we just, every week, everything was hitting almost. It was just, it's the most fun feeling in betting to have a heater. You can't walk away from a heater, which obviously you're not going to bet NFL every week, but it just kept going. And somebody mentioned that they were doing well. And I'm like, I should check mine because I just use my plays. And I look, I'm like, I'm in 42nd place in the whole dang thing.
And, oh my God.
And I wish I hadn't because that was 2 weeks ago. And then I got nervous.
You're right.
Because I'm just vibe sending. Like, oh, here's the games I played this week. Like, the lines are pretty close at Circa. Here, Drew, this is what I like. And so I got real nervous. I ended up going 4-1 last week and moving into 25th. But then it gets real.
Serious.
Yeah. And I started to, put together a little spreadsheet to figure out, some hedging strategies and who other people had picked. You don't get the picks out to the public until it was like halftime of the Niners game, I think.
Oh, right.
So I'm sitting in my office. We just done halftime. I'm tiddly-dee and figuring out. I got it loaded up. I tested it with the week 17 pick so I could be ready. And I look at the differences. What if things go perfect? I got to fly out.
I'm
at the office. It's like 9:30 at night. I'm texting my wife.
Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday. Yeah, this is Saturday, 9:30 at night. I text my wife. I'm going out. I'm going to head out.
Your wife was understanding?
Yeah.
She was.
She's. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. She's learned to try to, good luck trying to stop me from doing stuff.
Like you're flying out to ensure that you bring something back, right? Yeah. I think she would be.
That was half the back. I said, I'm like, I got to hedge, make sure we get something out of this.
How much did the quarterly pollute this? Because you were involved in the quarterly too.
Yeah, the quarterly is tough. And congrats to those guys. Because I mean, somebody, look at him. He went like 21-4.
21-4.
Yeah. So
what's your name? What was your team name?
Was two different entries?
Deep Dive 2.
Deep Dive 2 was mine.
So you look at the standings, we're looking at them. They're in front of us on a monitor here, and I'm just below that. I was like a half point out of the fourth quarter, I think the chop for the fifth place. So I could have got some of that if the Falcons hadn't falconed things up, but such is life. Verb. And, yeah, I went to bed. I texted Benson, texted the credit guy, said, I'm going to bed. Let me know in the morning. Woke up. Yeah, come out, credit. Good. And I woke up 3 a.m, drove to the airport, got out here. And
So what did you end up get? What was your final, record this week? And what did you end up hedging on?
I went 4-1 again. I'm just off the.
In the full season, you're 1.
Yeah, now, right? I think on the tweet, on the official graphic you get from the Circa, it's 57.5 is the cutoff. I ended up with 57 points.
Wow.
So it was, best I've ever done for sure. And I think it's like 30K for the.
So it was like 16th place.
There you go.
T16. Yeah. T16. Yep, best finish yet.
Congratulations, man. That's awesome. And you made some money hedging away, or no, you went 4-1, so you lost some money.
It was nice to get go up there and get my Saints money after the Falcons crushed me. But
yeah,
there was a little here and there where we went back and forth on should we take this and should I take the Ravens. But the biggest thing was going into the night game, that's the biggest swing. I had the Steelers +3.5. So you have the advantage of I can bet against a dog. I can bet in the final game. I know where I'm at. So as the games are finishing, I go upstairs real quick, punch it in the computer. I figure out what the difference is. I kind of look at, what we should do, what the exact head should be. Is it Steelers +3.5 in the contest? I walk over to the cage. Give me some more of those tokens. I'm going to bring them over to the sports book. I walk to the sports book, 10 minutes to spare maybe. Ravens -4.5. The line hit the jump.
Oh, yeah. like crazy.
Yeah, man. So it's like, are we buying a point? And am I taking Ravens -3.5, like -140, I suppose, at that point? Or am I just saying, we'll just gut it out here? So I said, maybe the Steelers will start hot. Maybe the Steelers will start out and I'll get an even better number, this pie in the sky notion. It did not happen if you caught that game. There were some spots. When it ended up tied there, I did lay off a little bit with the Ravens.
How much of your brain space did this consume for the entire week?
It was a bad week at work.
Yeah,
just trying to get anything done. I was just thinking about this.
And I'm sure you can't go 10 minutes without thinking about it.
I'm almost happy it's over. I'm pumped. I'm pumped it's the playoffs too. It's such a grind getting through the NFL season, but. Man, there's some good matchups this weekend.
All right, so let's talk about it. For someone who finished, and by the way, congratulations, Andy. T16 is an amazing accomplishment. Are you one of these guys who'll put it in your Twitter bio that you were T16?
Oh, I should. I haven't updated my Twitter bio in years.
You should. Remember that time I did that as a joke? Yes. Like the quarter I said it, I was like, let's see how long it takes for someone to call me out. Then I forgot about it. Like a month later, I was like, I should update.
Kelly was like T143rd.
So I was in it in the last week and then nothing.
Yeah. All right, so what were the wild card lines where you were like, oh, I like this.
Yeah, and it's funny. Drew and I did a show this morning, which that was I kept looking at my phone as it was like waking me up. And I'm like, I got an hour before I got to go on air. I can sleep 10 more minutes. Like, this is rough this morning. We stayed up late. Matt kept us out late at Barry's last
night. Brown?
Yeah.
Matt
Brown.
Can't imagine that.
Great conversation with him at Barry's, but I was up late. We sat down and it was great because we were real simpatico on the Jaguars. I don't quite understand why they're not favored.
Me too.
What Cohen Kelly has done too. With that offense is, it's, we talked about that. What teams scare you in the playoffs? And I think in the AFC, it is the Jaguars. It's absolutely them. The offense, where it's come from the beginning of the season to be like, oh, this Trevor and Liam thing isn't working, to where they're at now.
If there was ever a line that can be accused of being historical and not based on the season, it's that one. Because it just feels like it's based on priors from previous years.
Yep. Yeah, I'm looking forward to Josh Allen racking up 5 touchdowns on us, and us all losing. Yes, so, I'm with you. I thought it was the Jags too.
Which one besides this one? Because I agree with you completely.
The other egregious one is 10 points at home. I don't think I can bet it though. I guess looking at my power numbers and where I told Drew, I'm like, even if I set the Rams at the highest number that I've set any team at this season, I've never had anyone really above a 7. I've put them at a 7.5. They're on the road. Take away 1.5. That means they're 6 points better, plus another 4. So you're saying the Carolina Panthers are 4 points worse than a neutral team? Like, they're not great, but it's so many. I don't think I'll have the balls to do it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I guess there's
an angle there, and I think it might be the over, depending if Quentin Lake doesn't play or. I think the Rams just might score 30, and that's the problem.
I'm with you. I thought that was a little too high. Last thing in the last 30 seconds, Andy Molitor from the Deep Dive podcast, which he does with our buddy Drew Densick. Did you do anything different this year to get these results? Or was it the same process you always have? And if so, what's that process?
Not a ton. You know, Drew and I, same kind of meeting. We started doing the daily shows, which maybe that was helping.
Maybe that would help.
Because,
yeah.
You know, Monday mornings, we'd spend a little more time with the openers, a little more. I'd spend a little more time in the injuries. Still wasn't betting a lot of early lines, but I mean, honestly, keeping up with the injuries and kind of talking it back and forth. And, I mean, that's something we said 8 years ago when we were first doing the podcast. Halfway through that first season, we both said it. I'm like, I think I'm better at this year because we're talking it out.
Talk it out.
Andy Molitor, everybody. Congratulations, Andy. T16 in millions. Prop points next. Enjoy from VSiN.